Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. We are going to look at the idea of church camp. And when I say idea, I mean the theme. And we're going to share with you an overview. And this is strictly from Brother Ben. This isn't from the committee or the themes even. But this is just my take on the approach that we're using. As you know, the young people of our day, they absolutely avail themselves to the electronic games that are available. And we could sit here and, you know, say the good or the bad of that. The reality is that most of our young people, they play electronic games. Can I get a witness? There you go. And so we're not, as a church, or much less as a church camp or church camp committee, putting our stamp of approval on those games. We're telling you, we acknowledge it happens. And so we're adopting the theme. Of course, the game is Minecraft, and we're calling it Mindcraft because we want to take the correlations of the game and bring out the biblical correlations to our young people. And again, we're not going to be advertising or promoting the game to the young people as much as acknowledging they all know it inside and out. And did you know that there is a correlation from the nethers to hell? Did you know that there's a correlation of starting the game with nothing and having to get the things that you need, so on and so forth? And all of those things have a correlation in God's Word. And the preachers and the themes that we have picked are going to be, hopefully, prayerfully, drawing those correlations out. I do absolutely beg and ask you to pray for them in this respect. The opening thought, if you will, of this message today is that the battlefield is for the mind. And that's why we took this theme. The battlefield in this world right here, right now, today is for the mind. Why are people protesting in London? Why are people protesting throughout the United States of ICE and the such? You know why they're protesting? They're trying to change your mind. They are. Why are you and I hopefully ignoring them? Because we don't want to change our mind. Because we believe what we believe, and that's extremely important. Don't get me wrong. It's important to protest. If you come up to something that you feel like is worthy to protest, you need to do that. But why are you doing it? Because you've set your mind. The battlefield is the mind. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Would you please stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word? Jesus is answering the question from a scribe or Pharisee. The question was, which is the first commandment of all? We're going to start in verse 29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. So almost essentially as introduction, I want to do a little home cooking. And this is very personal, if you will, and private to some degree. But we're family. If you're visiting, we do this on occasion. But first of all, I want to share with you the fact that Dawn and I and my family could not be more thankful that God has blessed this church and that you believe and agree that if a family can afford it, they ought to get away occasionally. And you have blessed us financially and the Bannerman family and the such to do so. Could not be more grateful. Growing up, I got three vacations with my mom and dad in an 18 to 20 year span of time. Loved them. Didn't know that other families did it all the time type thing. Didn't know that some families never did it because of financial restraints. All I knew was my family. Then I was introduced to the Burnetts, and Dawn and her family took a vacation every year to the same place, basically where we went this year. And it was their 2 weeks away with Dad. Dad worked hard. Mom worked hard. All day, all week type thing. But they knew every year, we're getting 2 weeks with Mom and Dad. And they did, and they had a ball. She talked, all the family talked glowingly. They took videos. I mean, it was a big deal. And so when God brought us together, we kind of talked about that whole thing. And I said, I got three, and I'd love to have more. And she was like, well, we went every year, and I want to do that if we can. And so we essentially said, if God provides it and makes a way, we're going to do that. Branson, as Brad likes to say, old people's paradise, that was our place. And we went and we had a ball. Every year type thing. And now as our adult children have jobs and such, now we're going other places. But about April, the Holy Spirit brought something to mind. 17 years ago, before my brother died, he called me one day and said, I want a new plow, Ben. I want a new plow for the gospel and God's word for my son, Brian. Do you have any suggestions? Who could I expose Brian to that's going to say the same things that I say in a setting that he has never heard it before? And this was, the internet was alive and well at this time, and I said, let me check it out. And I typed in Christian Conference for Teens, something like that. Student Leadership University came up. And I studied it, I looked into it, I called about it. It sounded great. Jay Strack, one of the greatest Southern Baptist youth speakers of all time type thing, he had given the latter part of his ministry to developing these conferences. So Dad set it up. Tony died before Brian could go to his first SLU. Vicky called me and asked me if I could go, and I said, there's just no way. So she went with him. And so he went to Orlando, then he went to Washington, D.C. the next summer, then he went to London the next summer, then he went to Israel the next summer. Student Leadership University, 101, 201, 301, 401, impacted his life. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because we're getting right here. In April, God said, it's time for Tony to go. I'm like, well, Lord, I didn't send my other two. And he's like, yeah, that's on you. It's time to send Tony. And so I went to Dawn and I said, what do you think? And she's like, well, how are we going to get him there? Because the only date that was available was, going to mess up, if you will, our hillbilly days. And we didn't want to mess up hillbilly days. We wanted to be here. So we're going to have to put Tony on a plane. Now, Tony's not here. Can we make a pact? A pact that none of you are going to repeat me what I'm fixing to say? Tony can't find his way around in this room. And I'm kidding. But he's a 15-year-old. We're going to put him in Orlando Airport where he's got to get on a tram? Have you heard of human trafficking? I mean, this is tailor-made, you know. And so Mom's scared. I'm scared. But I knew this was a God thing. It's going to be fine. And so let me just, you're going to get something first service didn't get because we don't have a time limit here. God put a couple on that plane in St. Louis that once they saw Mama pouring into Tony, now, you got to do this, and you're looking for this person, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. The man looked at Mama and said, he's going to be fine. They stayed with him until Tony was connected with Morgan. She's Megan as far as I'm concerned, but Morgan, because I can't remember Morgan. But anyway, so they did that. After I told her that he's going to get on an airplane and do that, then I said, but guess what we're going to do? And she looks at me and goes, we're going to get in our car and drive to Ormond Beach. We're going to be an hour from Orlando so that when he's done, we'll go get him and bring him back. And we're going to stay for a week on the beach. Now listen, church, listen to me. I have tried to teach you husbands. If you want your wives to agree with you, tell them what you know they want to hear. That's right. That's right. When it comes to vacation destination, there's only one thing she wants to hear, the beach. And it's taken me 25 years to get to this place because there's not a word in the English language strong enough for hate in me and the beach. Detest doesn't do it. Loathe doesn't do it. I hate it. type thing. And I'm fixing to tell you why. They don't put any clothes on at the beach type thing. They wear their undies out there. And I don't appreciate that. Number one, I don't do it. Number two, it'd be a scandal if I did it. Number three, the bottom line is that it is a temptation all week long. Can I get a witness? Anybody? Am I the only one out here being honest? Amen. And so I'm telling you, church, it's not a blessing. Listen to me. The battlefield is the mind. And if I feed my mind with those scantily clad ladies, I'm going to struggle. But do you know that God created this massive expanse called the sky that you can look at instead of looking at them? You can bury your head in the sand. You can for about 10 minutes. You can go swimming. You can do something besides feast upon the flesh that is there. Thank you, Craig. You can do it. And church, every one of us should do it. Because I'm not telling you you shouldn't go to the beach. If the Lord provides it that you can go to the beach, go. But do not allow yourself to be tempted beyond what you are able. Prepare. I prayed a lot. I prayed before I went, while I was there, and I've been praying ever since type thing. You pray and you fight it. The battle is for the mind. And that's why we're using this topic at church camp. Because our young children, our kids need to know that the battle is for the mind. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. The intellect is where the battles are won or lost. The intellect feeds everything else. Yes, the heart or emotion drives the life, but the intellect feeds the heart and emotion. As one person argued at a national meeting, the person or entity that has the power to frame the debate has the upper hand. This pastor was afraid of the quote-unquote super committee, they're actually called the coordinating council, that was going to be formed. And the only reason they were formed was to meet with our departments every year to keep our departments on track. That's it. But he brought up a very good point. The entity or person that gets to frame the debate, they have the control over where the debate goes. And church, listen, your mind is framing the debate. Your mind is telling your emotion what to get excited about. Your mind is telling your social area where to go and the such. And so your mind is an extremely important area to protect for God's sake. So if your intellect is taking its cues from the devil, the world, or your flesh, they are framing the debate, not the Holy Spirit. And I'm not trying to be hateful. I'm trying to be your pastor. If you're here today and you think, well, I don't do that. I don't let the devil, my flesh, or this world frame where my mind goes. So you've been in God's Word every day this week. You've been quoting Scripture to yourself all this week. You've been soaking in 91.5, 99.1. You've been exposing yourself to godly character and godly things. Because you see, if you're not doing those things, the world, the flesh, and the devil are framing the debate. And you might say, well, Brother Ben, that's you, not me. Okay. But I'm telling you, we need to look at this subject honestly. What did the devil say to Eve in response to Eve's declaration as to what God told them they could and couldn't do? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Neither... And she adds to it, Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. What was that? A lie. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God. Another lie. Knowing good and evil. Well, now that's the truth. When they eat it, they will know what's good and what's evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them were both opened. Now, if we stop right there, everything's cool. And they knew that they were naked. The innocence is gone, ladies and gentlemen. It's gone. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, what was covering them was God's righteousness. What was covering them was innocence. But now, because they know good and evil, because they did what God told them not to do, now they know they're naked. And they're trying to cover themselves. And church, listen to me. No human being has the ability to make yourself commendable to God. No covering you put on will make yourself commendable to God. The devil countered the truth with a lie. She believed the lie and sinned against God. God will always tell you the truth. The devil is the father of lies. It's all he does. And the most dangerous lie is a half truth. The most powerful thing you can do each week is to tell yourself the truth. It's called self-talk. If you're telling yourself each day the lies of your flesh, the lies of the world, and the lies of the devil, you have no option but to live a sinful lie. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, yea, I beseech you that I may not, when present, show courage with the confidence wherewith I count to be bold against some. Now, what is he saying? Paul is saying, I know that there are people that are speaking against me who count of us as if we walked according to the flesh. That's what the enemies of Paul were saying. He walks according to the flesh, but this is his response. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. You never do something that you do not think about first. Everything that you've done this week, you thought about it first. And you've heard me say this many times before. So if you think it, you're capable of it. Can't speak for you, but that scares me to death. So what are some of the lies today that we tell ourselves? What are some of the things that we need to wrap the chain of our will around the neck of that thought and drag it into the throne room of God and ask him if he wants us to fellowship with that? Because that's exactly what that passage is talking about. The passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 is saying that you and I should bring every thought under captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's called thought control. The battlefield is the mind. What are some of the lies today that we tell ourselves if we're not careful? Well, I can't speak for you, but if I'm not careful, I tell myself pretty regular, you're a loser. Because I'll do something stupid. I'll do something dumb. I'll think something wrong. You loser. Now, I know there's a fine line of teasing, even with yourself, and really buying into it. Church, it's one thing to joke with yourself. It's another thing to have a steady diet of, you're a loser. You're a nobody. You know, you're not ever going to do anything right. Because before you know it, you start to just buy into it. It becomes your destiny. How about this? Nothing ever changes. Nothing ever changes. Well, that's not true. You're all getting older. You are. Every one of you. There's a lot changing. It's not true that nothing ever changes. No one loves me. The devil loves to tell you that. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms. That's what they said to us in high school all the time. Yeah, and can I tell you, don't go eat worms. Please don't do that. And it's not true that nobody loves you. If all else fails, Jesus Christ loves you. And that's not going to fail. And every person in this church, oh, we may not show it as well as we should sometimes. We may fail sometimes, but we do. We love you. Why would I potentially put a damper on this service telling you about Chastity's father? Because we love her. We love Jared. We love Natalie. We love Spike. And we want every brother and sister in here to lift them up just as we would want them to lift us up in those times. No one cares if I live or die. It's not true. There's lots of folks that care. So much so that they're going to spend $10,000 to $15,000 on your funeral if and when you die. So much so that they're going to come to your funeral and they're going to come to your graveside. Church, one of the, and I mean this in a good sense, one of the burdens of living right next to a cemetery is seeing the families that are impacted for eternity by the loss of someone and seeing the faithfulness. There's a bunch of people that care whether you live or die. And it'll affect them for the rest of their lives. No one will know if I do this. I wonder if Papa John thought that before he used the N-word. I wonder about all these people that have lost their job in the last couple years because of Twitter, because of Facebook. I wonder if they thought that nobody will know. Nobody will care. So much so that you lose your job. You and I have got to be aware that there's a lot of people that care. There's a lot of people that will know. The Bible says, be sure your sins will seek you out. I can say what I want to say when I want to say it. Again, Papa John will tell you, nope, that's not true. You can't do that. Well, that's just the way I am. And y'all know my rebuttal to that. That's why Jesus died, to change the way you are. Remember, you can choose your choices. You can't choose your consequences. Church, we need to indelibly, figuratively tattoo that on our brain. You can choose your choices. You cannot choose your consequences. So what is the truth? Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, y'all know by my profile that I enjoy to eat. With that said, one of the things that we were looking forward to in Georgia were peaches and/or watermelons. And we have partook in both of those. Well, on our way back, we stopped in the same place that we stopped on the way down because we knew that there was a very nice peach orchard there. Some of the best, Dawn still talks about it, peach cobbler that we've ever had type thing. But there was something else. On either side of the interstate, a Waffle House. Yeah. Now, there are some people that do not appreciate the gourmet food that Waffle House produces. I respect that. Everybody has their own palate. I respect that. Watch this. This preacher can eat him some Waffle House food. Amen. My wife and kids can tell you, I order the same thing every time. A ham and cheese omelet with scattered, covered, smothered hash browns. No bread. I'm diabetic. I'm trying to watch my weight. Thank you for the laughter, because that was ridiculously, yeah. So here you go. They got two of them. There's not a mile between them. The bridge, the overpass, that's all that. But boy, if you're going north, you can stop. If you're going south, you can stop, and you don't have to pass the overpass. And I thought, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. I would vote for the governor that come up with this idea. This is awesome. So when we're coming out of the hotel, we've got to cross the overpass to go north. But there's a Waffle House right there.
And I'm like, stupid to cross the overpass, even though I'm going to have to cross the overpass to go north. I might as well go here. But something was telling me, cross the overpass. And I'm like, cross the overpass. We no more. Get in there and sit down. And I have encouraged you fine folks on a regular occasion. One of the ways you can witness is say to the waitress or waiter, in just a moment, we're going to pray over our food. Is there anything that we can pray for you about? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you need to do that. And so I did. Can you remember the name of the Megan? There you go. So Megan, I no more got those words out of my mouth. I could see it. The tears come. And the first thing she did was, aw, you girls, aw, aw. And then she said, in a southern voice, my mom. And I could tell something tragically was wrong with her mom. And I said, well, can you help us out? She's on comfort care. We're just waiting for her to go home. And I said, we will. We will pray for your mother. And I did what I do anytime I'm in a situation like that. I gave her the resource when life is changed forever by losing someone near. Now, I went into preacher mode, okay? And then she left, and we prayed for Megan's mom. And I left her. One of the greatest things that this church has done through the leadership of Todd Walters and Brad Miller, we've got BethelLonedale.com. I say that to just about anybody and everybody that I'm witnessing to and ministering to, because they can get on BethelLonedale.com in the privacy of their own home. They're not going to be asked to give an offering. They're not going to be asked anything except they can listen and they can hear God's word. And if she gets on BethelLonedale.com and listens to this sermon, she can know that God profoundly touched a family by what has profoundly touched her. And we've been praying for her mom. Church, the battlefield is the mind. And it's extremely important that we be sensitive to what God. Do you know why I ask people on occasion to bet? Because some preacher made the suggestion. It's a good suggestion. Do you know why I share that resource? Because that resource touched me. It changed my mind. The title alone, When Life, Chastity has been changed forever today because she lost someone near. I'm asking you to prayerfully consider coming to camp. Brother Todd has already hit you up over it. I'm going to support that and back that. Get on 47, go to Richwoods, turn right, go to T, turn right, can't miss it on your right. If you're looking, can't miss it. 7 o'clock-ish. Todd, I hope you weren't teasing us. Are we really going to have cool weather? Hallelujah. Because if we have 100-degree weather, which it's possible to have in July in Missouri, we push it down a little bit because 100 degrees under that metal roof, that's like getting in a roaster, you know. And so but my point is if you'll shoot for 7 o'clock, you'll be there in time to take in the worship service. Brother Brad's preaching tonight. He'll preach Wednesday night also. I'll preach Saturday morning. Wednesday morning and Saturday morning. Tom's going to be preaching and the such. But I'm just encouraging you to support. For all of those of you that are going, I'm asking you to come out prayed up, ready to put up with these kids, and let's minister to them. Let's stand. Musicians, will you come? Let me answer this question. Brother Ben, how do I tell myself the truth? First thing you have to do is to expose yourself. If you're not exposing yourself, you're not going to know the truth to tell it to yourself. Build hurdles. Put things up in your way. There we go. Put things up in your way that you have to jump over to do the wrong thing. Create ceremonies. I've shared with you the ring ceremony that I do on occasion. asking God to help me to be faithful to the people that I have responsibility towards, and that includes you, and then the power of the education that God has given me to carry out my responsibility. Praise God for victories. Folks, we're so ate up with loss that we don't praise God for the little victories. Y'all remember that Brother Ben struggles with road rage? So last night, when me and Dawn and Molly in our car, Benjamin in his new car, and Sweet Thing, as we call her, we're going the same direction. I told him the last one there pays. He took that literally. I had an opportunity to beat him at that McDonald's spot. Some real old, slow guy got in front of me, and I just almost romped the gas. And my wife said, "Easy." Something along those lines. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Small victory. But no ticket. No wreck. Happy wife. Woo! It all good. It's all good. Church, listen to me. We all struggle. But we need to praise God for the minor victories. I want to leave you with this verse. The name of Jehovah is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Proverbs 18:10. Guess what the name of our church camp is? Jesus Camp. Say that with me, church. Jesus Camp. We need to run into it. We need to run into it and be safe. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then we're begging you to come forward. We'll introduce you to Christ. Maybe you need to come and join the church today. Maybe you need to submit to scriptural baptism, whatever the case may be. Maybe you just want to come and pray for chastity and the family. Maybe you want to pray for a decision that you need to make, whatever the case may be. Will you come? Let's sing.